I want to share with you today one of the greatest images in the scripture that helped me in my past years. It helped me to not beat myself up so much for not being there yet. And maybe you understand what I'm saying. That as we live this life, you find very few people that will tell you, I've got it all together, everything's great, life is great, I'm the man that I want to be, I don't want to change anything. Usually, most of us, when we look at ourselves, we kind of want to do more. We want to become more, walk in more of God, walk in more of His love, walk in more of His joy, walk in more of His blessings. And for us and our family and our friends and everyone around us, we want to be a blessing and change their world as we change ours and as God helps us. And so this image in the scripture is so important because it helped me to really see where I was with God and not to be so critical of myself. Whenever we see imagery in scripture, it's there for a reason. So for instance, when Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field, well, he's painting an image that you can understand and that I can understand. I can close my eyes right now and I can envision a lily in the field. And Jesus said, consider that. So he's saying, look at the lilies in the field, how well they're clothed. They don't toil or sow. They're beautiful. In that scripture, Jesus is trying to get us to look at how the lily receives, and that's how you and I are to receive. And so with an image, you can close your eyes and imagine a lily, and then we can actually walk around that lily and look at all the aspects and every part of it, and it's truth. It's truth by pictures. That's what imagery in scripture is. It's the truth of God within a picture. And inside that picture, you can look at it, study it, and look at all the details of a lily and consider it. Consider the lily. When you feel that you're not going to make it financially, when you feel that you're not going to be provided for enough by God, or that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to panic. You're supposed to stop and consider the lilies of the field. And so that imagery is to help us to see a truth of the word within a picture. And now the lily is not the image that I'm talking about. But there's an image in Scripture. It's all throughout Scripture when he's talking about you and I as believers, as children of God, that if you get this image in you, you can walk around in it, you can look at it, study it, it will be truth. The picture is the truth of God by picture. And it will, if it helps you like it helped me, to be at peace in my process of walking with God and not wait until the end before I can celebrate, not wait until the end when I have total victory in areas of my life. That's when I can be at peace, when I have everything conquered and I'm complete in Him in my life and the fruit's all there. Because of this image, it put me at peace along the way of walking with God, walking deeper with God, walking more in His love, walking more in His character. So the image here we want to talk about. We're going to read lots of scripture today, so please stay with me and please let the scripture penetrate into you. Go back over these scriptures, because when you get the image in you, it can bring you peace in the process of your life. And what a shame that for many believers, like myself in the past, I felt embarrassed and unachieved and unaccomplished and not enough. I don't think there was a day for years that I felt that I was good enough. I don't think there was a day for years that I felt that I had done enough. And even when I did a lot for God or pressed in a lot, those seasons, I still never felt that it was enough, because I didn't see the fruit yet. I didn't see the promises in the scripture actively walking in my life, when I know they were there for me, but how do I get them to come to pass? And I remember Pastor Dave one time said, a good preacher just doesn't tell you your faults, or a good preacher just doesn't tell you what's available for you. A good preacher tells you those things, but then also gives you the path for you to get there. And so when we read the scripture, these scriptures today, my prayer and my hope is that the image will come out of the scripture and come into my heart and come into your heart to where you begin to see yourself the way that God sees you. Now, this is proving to you that God sees us this way. And because God sees us this way, we should see ourselves this way as well. So our first scripture we're going to read is out of Isaiah 44. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 4. Hear ye now, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I'll pour water on him who's thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring. Verse 4. They will spring up among the grass, like willows by the watercourse. So here, God is talking about the descendants of Jacob, and he's saying that I'll pour my spirit upon them, and they will rise up amongst the grass. So if you can see the imagery here, that there's a field of grass along a creek, along the water, and his offspring, that could be us, who's going to pour out his spirit upon, will rise up among the grass and spring up among the grass like willows. And that word willows is a tree. It's not something small. And so this is the imagery that has helped me, is the imagery of a tree. And so these descendants, God will pour his spirit out among them, and they will spring up among the grass like a willow or a willow tree, which in Israel was common. It's a type of tree that springs up around water and grass. Years ago, I remember driving through the Arizona desert, and it was just desert sand. But every once in a while, you'd see a pocket of green around the desert, and there'd be trees and grass. And if you ever went to inspect it, you'd find there's some kind of water source there, that everything around it was dry. But right there was grass and a tree because there was water. And so that's similar to this, that they will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. So here God is talking about the descendants of Jacob. He's talking about people, that he's going to pour his spirit out among them, and they will grow and spring up around the grass. So the grass is so high, but up will come a tree that will stand way taller than the grass and way stronger. And it's by the water course. And so the image that God helped me in the last number of years in my life, for a number of years, has been to quit looking at myself as a failure in areas that I'm not there yet. Because all of us have those areas. We can preach from the mountaintop, I call it, where I stand on the mountaintop as a preacher, and I could say, if you want to be anointed like me, if you want to have wealth like me and a ministry like me and hear God like me and have character like me, then listen to my messages. But I've also learned that to preach from the valley, where you're going through things, you're not there yet. Even Paul said he wasn't there yet. Where you can preach where we're going, and you can preach, this is the path I'm on, but while you're going through things, and I find that most people appreciate a more honest approach to the gospel, that we're not all there yet, and we're all going through things, and we've all been through things, but we're going to get there, and we're going to finish our course. And to me, that brings more hope than trying to copy someone who's maybe saying they have it all together, because I would like to have it all together. But I'm still working on areas and overcoming areas and still growing in love and joy and peace and many different areas of my life. And so I don't know very many people who think they're there yet. And so here is the imagery of a tree. Let's walk around a tree. A tree starts with a seed being planted, and then that seed begins to grow. And as that seed grows, the tree grows and it pulls from the light and it pulls from its roots. And it grows and can be very large and very strong. It takes a very strong wind to knock over a tree. You know, we live in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has many strong tornadoes. And I watch these trees around here that we have great strong winds come through. I've got a few in my yard, and my trees stand strong because they're Oklahoma trees. They've been through the storms and they grew up through the storms, and so they're strong. And if I go to Canada, where I was born and raised, a big strong wind comes through, it can blow over trees because they're not used to a great strong wind storm like we get here in Oklahoma. But yet, where I was raised in Canada, we have ice and snow, and those trees are strong. They hold up against the ice and the snow because they were raised within the weight of the snow. And so they're strong in that way, but they're weak when it comes to wind. Well, a tree, you know, grows by its environment and grows up to be strong in that environment and to overcome all the things that try to kill it and push it over. But once a tree is strong and mature, especially a fruit tree, it produces fruit. And the goal is for the tree to survive all the battles and all the struggles and all the things that try to kill it as it grows. So we can actually walk around the imagery of a tree and see how it grows and see how it develops. And because we're going to see in Scripture that this is one way that God views us and has given us the imagery to look at that and say, okay, this is part of how God sees us developing with Him. And so this tree, this willow, popular tree, grew up amongst the grass. Can you imagine seeing grass and then a tree? There's no comparison. The tree is strong and way above the grass, but the grass will sway with the wind. And praise God, we don't want to live our life being swayed this way and that way by our emotions or by opinion or circumstances or by politics. We want to be strong in the Word, strong in who we are in God, and strong in our calling so that we can have victory and success in our future. I'm going to read some more Scripture. And you'll just have to put up with me reading Scripture today. This is Psalm 92. Because I really want the imagery to come and lift up above this Scripture verses and be imparted into our heart. And these are building blocks of truth that once you allow them to go into you, they stay forever. And the truth of God, the building blocks of truth, of knowledge of God, God uses that to build more truth in us. So Psalm 92, verse 12. We're going to read verse 12 through 15. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." You know, if you have anyone complain about you, just say, "I'm a palm tree, and I'm a cedar in Lebanon." "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." So again, we see a beautiful imagery that the righteous, that would be you and I, shall flourish like a palm tree. So if someone complains about you because you struggle or you failed in an area, just say, "Well, listen, I may have made a mistake, but watch out, because I'm like a palm tree. I'm going to rise up and flourish like a palm tree. You may be complaining about me now while I'm growing, but one day you'll be enjoying the fruit that I give." And then he mentions this other tree. "He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Now, the cedar in Lebanon were known for being giant trees. I mean, giant like a 10-story building, as high as 10 stories. So think of a 10-story building and a tree that was as tall as a 10-story building and as wide as a city bus. So you can't chop that sucker down. I don't know how you'd knock that over. It's a city bus in width, and in height it is 10 stories tall. You know, but it says they grow. "He shall grow." Look at verse 12. "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." So this is God talking about how the righteous shall grow. The way you grow is like a cedar in Lebanon. So he's given us imagery. Let's walk around that for a moment. And I want to take time today and just share the imagery in these verses. Because if we get it in our heart, the truth of this in our heart and the image of it in our heart, then it will help you to be at peace while you're growing. Because many of us are too critical And maybe other people are too critical towards you because you're not there yet where they think you should be. You should be here in your finances. You should be here in your character. You should be here in your spiritual ability to walk with God, to hear God. You should be here in overcoming things. And so let's take a moment and let's just look at the image and walk around this one for a minute. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Well, how does a cedar in Lebanon grow? Well, a cedar in Lebanon takes many, many, many years to grow. And so that's one thing. But another thing is how it begins. Is you plant a seed. And when you plant a cedar of Lebanon in the ground, seed in the ground, you understand that inside that seed, if you were to slice it in half and take a good look at it with your spiritual eyes, you would see that there is an image inside of it of a full-grown tree. And what the seed does is it pulls the nutrients from the ground, and it comes through the image of the seed, and it begins to pull all the nutrients and water and everything it needs from the ground, and it sprouts. And then it grows, and it continues to pull like an orange tree. An orange tree knows to produce oranges. It pulls certain nutrients. Like how does a tree produce sweet oranges from the... Have you tasted dirt? Grab a handful of dirt and taste it and see if you can find any sweetness in there. You won't find it. But yet an orange tree, because the image of an orange tree is in the seed, that all the nutrients it pulls through that image of the seed, and it begins to build that image. What's in the seed is what it builds. And so an apple tree pulls something different than an orange tree. So every fruit tree pulls different nutrients because it doesn't think. It pulls because of the image within the seed. And praise God, we got the same principle. We have the new nature in us the moment we were born again. And that new nature is like a seed. And if you open it up, you'll find the image in that seed is Christ. A fullness of Christ, complete in holiness, in righteousness, in love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, in every aspect, in love, in compassion, that you'll find in that seed inside of you right now is a complete image of Christ. But here it shows us that we have the same process as a tree to walk through, where we make an effort to take the nutrients from God and pull it through that image of Christ, through that seed, so that what is growing in us is not from the natural man, it's from the spiritual man. What grows in us is the fullness of Christ. That I, Alan, could walk in the fullness of Christ, where the people that I know and the people from this world don't look at me from my past. You know, some people are ashamed of their past. And I've made many mistakes. I've made mistakes, but I know people who made really big ones. And they judge them. Maybe they're stamped with it. Divorced or bankrupt or murderer or failure, dysfunctional, drug addict. All these areas that many people have to overcome. That they may judge you by that, but God judges you by the image of the seed and what you can bring forward. Because if you bring forward the nutrients from God through that image, you'll find that what is produced is growth. And what is growing is that image of Christ. That you and I could have people look at us and say, "You remind me of Christ. Where did you get that love? Where did you get that joy? Where did you get that peace?" Now, I've tried to manufacture love when I didn't want to, and manufacture peace when I didn't want to, and it all crumbled along the way because that was me and my natural ability. But here is an image that I can grow like a tree. What comes through that seed of Christ in me, it will produce the very image of Christ. I become more Christ-like as I grow. And it's a shame that many Christians don't invest into the spiritual side of themselves, the spiritual growth, and they limit their growth, and so they stay the same in their maturity spiritually. And they may do well in this earth, but it's not the same as this here. It's talking about the image of growing. And there's hope in here for us too, because a cedar tree like this, what happens is you plant it, the seed, and then for 3 years, you see it sprouts up like 5 inches. or 2 inches, I'm sorry, it sprouts up 2 inches in 5 years. So 5 years of investing, you look at it, and all you see is 2 inches. That's it, 2 inches of growth. But in those 3 years, 2 inches on the top, it's gone 5 feet deep, the roots. The early time of development is spent into making those roots strong, and because that's where it's going to get the majority of its nutrients, is by its roots deep in the soil. And that's where it's going to pull the water from and the nutrients from and the minerals from to build the tree up strong. Because it's going to take a lot of roots to hold a 10-story tree up. You know, little trees don't need big roots, but big trees need big roots. And let me just tell you, you're a big tree in the making. Don't let anyone or yourself sell yourself short. When someone wants to judge you from your past, just say, hey, I'm a big tree in the making. I'm not a little tree. I'm a big tree in the making. I'm not there yet, but I will get there. And so in 3 years, the roots are 5 feet deep, and the only growth is 2 inches. But yet that tree will grow into a monster tree, bigger than all the other trees, and wider and strong that it's impossible to knock it over. Don't you know that's what I want, and I'm sure that's what you want, is to make my walk with God so strong and so secure that no circumstance, no attack of the enemy, no struggle in life, no battle in this world shakes me or moves me. No doctrine can draw me off course, no other opinions of people. I want to be that kind of man of God. So let's continue in Scripture. Please stay with me. And I say that because I know I'm reading a lot of Scripture today, but I want to prove to you that this is a way that God sees us in imagery, and we can take that imagery and apply it to our life. It helps us to understand that we're growing, that he sees us as a tree. This is Psalm 52 and verse 8. Psalm 52, verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Now, an olive tree takes many years to grow, and they survive for a long time. But it takes many years before it produces fruit. And I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever, and in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. So I am like a green olive tree. So it's important that I can prove to you in Scripture that it's in here, that God sees us as a tree in the way that he's handing us an image that we can live in and pull from, so that we can see what's going on, the process of it. So any tree that I know takes time. I make fun of a story of, say, when I was wanted oranges in my backyard. I wanted to go pick oranges. Like, how great is that? Pick oranges, make fresh orange juice. There's nothing like homemade, fresh squeezed, home squeezed orange juice. And so I went out, and this is not a true story, but it's a story, a preacher story. So I went out to the department, the store here, the Lowe's store, or the store that sells trees. And I bought a tree, an orange tree, just a little one, and I planted it, and I fertilized it, and I took care of it all year. And then by the end of the year, when it was orange season, I went and bought a juicer, you know, one of those ones that you put half the orange on, and it makes all the juice come out. And I got all excited and told my wife and my family, my friends, I'm going to give you the best orange juice this season. I'm so excited. And I went out to go pick the oranges. And that little tree didn't have any oranges. And so I got upset. I've just gone and bought a juicer, told all my family and friends that we were going to have orange juice from you, you dumb tree. Why don't you have oranges? What's wrong with you? I got a tree that doesn't work. So then I chopped it down and took it back to the tree store guy and said, hey, you sold me a bad tree. I don't like bad trees. This tree is no good. It doesn't produce oranges. Are you sure it's an orange tree? Maybe it's just a tree. And everyone laughed at me and said, well, sir, you know, we're not going to discount you because you killed the tree. You chopped it down. And don't you know it takes a number of years for a tree to mature before it produces fruit? And see, this is the imagery that God is showing us, that it can take time for us to grow in some areas before we can produce fruit. And I see this as super important because I watched in my own life, but I've watched many believers who get discouraged because they want God to be pleased with them and they want to show that they're worth value to Him possibly. So when they don't see the fruit coming, because fruit comes without effort, they try to manufacture fruit by going out and accomplishing things. And I've seen many believers with great intentions run ahead of their maturity and fall on their face and fail and struggle, all while trying to do it in the name of God in many different areas, finances, family, ministry, and their calling and anointing and miracles. I've seen so many well-meaning people, including myself, get ahead of who I really was mature-wise and then manufacturing something that only lasted for a season and then it failed. But when a tree is mature, you can't stop it. So, you know, if you have a fruit tree, go and yell at it and tell it it's a failure. Go and threaten it and tell it, I don't want any fruit this year. Stop it. It's still going to bring fruit because it's a mature fruit tree. And that's the way God sees us and wants us to see ourselves, that we're maybe in the process of maturing and the process of growing. And maybe people look at you and they only see the 2 inches off the ground and they think, what kind of tree are you? You're in church and praying for 3 years and you only got 2 inches. That's it. That's all the fruit you got, 2 inches of growth. But, you know, their roots aren't deep. And there's another tree I remember hearing about in Japan, I believe it was. It's kind of a bamboo tree where for 7 years it doesn't grow. You maybe see just an inch or two on top, but it doesn't grow. And then in like 1 month it grows 20 feet tall, I think, something like that, in 1 month. Well, how did that happen? Well, in those 7 years it was sending its roots down deep and growing in the right areas, and then in 1 month, when in the area that other people could see, it grew 20 feet tall. And so I don't want you discouraged if you look around your life and say, I don't have this yet. The Word promises me so many beautiful things that are mine because I'm a child of God. But yet, how do I practically make them happen? How do I make them appear in my life? Well, this is the path I want you to see, that you may not have it all. Maybe people are judging you or you're judging yourself like, you're only 2 inches. Why would I listen to you? Well, you know, if your roots are strong, the tree will be strong. And so you can just say, hey, I may not be there yet, but I'm in process. I'm growing in process, and I'm going to be a giant tree and a healthy tree and a strong tree. And that's really the goal that God has for you. He'd much rather have you take the time it takes for you to get all your heart together and with Him, where you walk in with Him, where you're practicing the spiritual tools that cause you to grow. Many people practice spiritual things, but they're not the things that make them grow. If you ask me 100 times and come for counseling or advice for me, 100 times out of 100, I will point you to the practicing the things that cause you to grow spiritually. Because I know that no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter what battle you're in, if I can get you to focus on the areas to grow, then you will be unstoppable. And whatever is trouble in your life has to lose, because spiritual growth will never lose. But if you just take an approach of trying to get God to give you something quickly, that's lazy Christianity. I want it now. I should have it now. And the danger of lazy Christianity is you can venture off into emotionalism. You can venture off into the manufacturing things in the natural man religion, which we call religion. You can venture off in doctrine. But if you go the way of the Holy Spirit and the way of spiritual growth, you will discover that you may take time, because a tree isn't like a carrot. A carrot comes quick and grows fast, but a tree takes time and effort and seasons and years for it to grow. And I don't want you discouraged in your growing. I don't want you so discouraged that you give up on growing spiritually and you get busy for God. Because if you get busy, too busy for God, and make that your focus, you understand that you'll stunt your growth. And that's not what you want. That's not what I want. That's not what God wants. God wants us on a daily practice, a weekly practice, a monthly practice of growing. And that's why you can look back. I can look back a year ago and think, wow, I've really matured a lot. And I go back a year before that and go, wow, I really matured a lot since then. I thought I had it together or knew something, but wow, I didn't know anything. And that's a good sign when you can do that. And you can, you know, outlive your past. You are not your past. You're not destined to repeat it. But you will if you don't grow past it. And here's a path that God's given us to grow like a tree. So let's keep talking trees in Scripture, all right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. So in context here, he's not talking about you having a good day and a bad day. Okay, it's very important we understand this in this scripture, because some people may have a bad day and they think, well, I must be a bad tree because I have bad fruit. Okay, he's not talking about when you have a bad day and you make a mistake or you fail or you don't do what you thought or what God told you to do. You know, that's why we have the grace of God and the mercy of God and the blood of Christ. But here he's simply making a big distinction between religion and salvation. And so he's in a battle with religious Jewish folks who are not accepting or allowing people around them to accept Jesus as an avenue to salvation for God. And he's telling them, listen, you don't have what it takes, even as a Jewish high priest, Pharisee, who lives by the law, that's still not enough for salvation. You are still a bad tree and producing bad fruit, even though you're talking about God and talking about holiness and talking about offerings and talking about all these things. You're still a bad tree because you're not saved. But there is going to be a path to become a good tree, which is salvation through me, Jesus. And that is the only way for you to get into the kingdom of God, because the tree you're part of now was good up till the moment I die. But the moment I die and resurrected, that tree is no longer valuable. And the only other way to God the Father would be through me, Jesus Christ, and accepting me. So that's the context of what he's saying here. Either you make the tree good and the fruit good, or else the tree bad and the fruit bad. So there's no way in the world to get good fruit from a bad tree. That's the point he's making. Not that if you have a bad day and someone sees something bad come out of you, that you're a bad tree. And there's a man who just passed away, a wonderful teacher of the gospel. His name was Rabbi Zacharias. And he made this statement, and I really appreciate it. He said, man is not just unethically, he's lost and dead. So a man who's not born again isn't just unethical. He's lost. He's dead. That's the human race. They're already lost. They're already dead. The biggest difference, he said, between Jesus Christ and ethical moral teachers. So the biggest difference between Jesus Christ and ethical moral teachers who have been defined by men is that the moral teachers come to make and help and teach bad people to become good people. But Jesus came to make dead people live, to bring to life from the dead. And that's the difference between you and a good, moral, unsaved person. They can learn from the world and from principles of the world great morality and great standards how to be better and to become good and helpful and valuable to people around them. But the gospel is more about, number one, getting people who are walking around, no matter where their morality is, and they're dead, to bring them to life. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. And so here I want you just to see mainly that he is, again, referring to you as a tree, and here that you're a good tree, you are going to produce good fruit. But again, talking about a tree. And there's many more scriptures that I'm not going to refer to. You can study yourself about a tree. Let me go to one more in the New Testament here as we wind up. And this is in Jude chapter 1, verse 12. And he talks about these preachers, these ministers of some type. And he's saying, these are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water. So he's given imagery, and this is something you can, again, walk around in this image and look at it and study it and know, okay, this is similar to the truth that he's teaching. This is a truth in picture. They're clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. So here's some trees, and they don't have fruit. They're twice dead, so they've been brought to life. Then these are people who've lost their salvation, pulled up by the roots, because the roots have been pulled out. And that's important to understand that verse. So these are trees that twice dead, they're pulled up by the roots, so they no longer have access by the roots to the things that'll keep them alive. And again, that's similar to you and I, because the Bible says that you and I are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So when the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, you can imagine God on the throne, the Father on the throne, and Jesus seated right beside him in all of his glory and authority. And then in Christ, inside of Jesus, is where we have access, where we are now seated in heavenly places. If you see yourself as a tree, you're rooted into him. You're rooted into him, the fountain of living water. You and I pull the nutrients from God, directly from the throne room, directly from him, but not from heaven to me. You know, see, what this did for me is it helped me to quit looking up to heaven. And God, please throw me down some of your anointing. Throw me down some of your glory. And it was me, it was a disconnect between me and the Father. He's up in heaven, I'm down here. And I begin to look for an openness in heaven, or some kind of door in wanting God to send his glory and his anointing from heaven to me. And there's part of that, but there's a much stronger connection in which through my new nature, I am connected, directly connected to him from my new nature, Christ in me. I'm connected to God, the Father. And that's why I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. Because of that, I can pull like a tree, pull the nutrients from my Father in through that new nature, in through that image, and it will produce growth of Christ in me. So I may not have a lot of patience right now, but if I keep doing the things that pull forth those nutrients through my new nature into my inner man, I will find growth, and this is spiritual knowledge. I will find maturity. I'll find more of his love operating in me and less of the worldly love. I'll find more of his peace and less of the worldly peace. I'll find more of his graciousness, his patience. And people will begin to see him in me more than see the old Alan in me. And really, as a minister, that's what we want, is for people to see Christ in us and to fall in love with Christ in us and not so much with us. Another couple scriptures that are very important. Psalm 1. And you may know all these scriptures, but we'll just keep painting that image on the inside of us. And because once the image of truth is in there, it never leaves. And then you're free to walk around in it and examine it as truth. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1:1, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. See, when a tree is not by a river, not by a water source, it is at the mercy of the elements. So in dry seasons, it shrivels up. In wet season it grows, but in dry seasons it has no source. But here it tells us that we're actually a tree planted by the water. We have a source of water that is not connected to the outside world. we have a source of hope and a source of courage and strength and nutrients that's directly from God our Father and not from the outside. And why is that important? Well, it helps you to understand that I'm not affected by circumstances, by politics. I'm not affected by economies in the world. And I'm not affected by things because everything I need to do what God told me to do, to live how God told me to live, is available to me as a child of God, rooted in Him, like a tree. And I have access right now. And that also means that even if I don't feel His presence, even if I don't feel anointed or feel goosebumps or feel the glory or see a cloud, or even though I have no outward celebration, maybe I'm having a really bad day and I can't get myself excited about God, it doesn't matter. I'm still rooted in Him. I didn't get uprooted. The only way you get uprooted is if you allow yourself to lose your salvation. And praise God, that's not going to happen to you and it's not going to happen to me. One more verse and then I'll promise, or one more scripture here, then I promise I'll quit. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, and we're going to jump down to verse 13. Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. So again, the imagery here, we can see it now, hopefully you've seen it all through Scripture, is this is how God perceives your growth in Him. That you're like a tree, the same way a tree pulls the water from the river and pulls the nutrients from the ground by its roots, is the way that you and I are to grow and to mature. And now, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And you'll not fear when heat comes. And its leaf will be green. Praise God. Lord, I thank you. I don't have to fear when there's a dry spout, a dry season in the economy, because my provision comes from you. And see, what I started to do when I began to worship God is I quit looking to heaven for God to touch me. I began to see that as I spent time worshiping Him, Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I glorify you. I magnify you. What I'm doing is I'm more like a tree. As I'm worshiping, it's like me reaching down into my roots and I'm pulling forward the nutrients and I'm pulling forward the water and all that I need to grow. So when I spend time in worship, I'm actually growing up spiritually. I'm actually like a tree growing and getting stronger just because I spend time in worship. Because I'm pulling that life and that strength and that courage and not just for the moment, but it's actually building it in me as my characteristic spiritual man. And soon I may be weak in one area, but let me tell you, I won't be weak forever because I know how to grow. I know how to pull from my resources from my Heavenly Father. When I pray in tongues, it's similar. I'm pulling forward truth and knowledge from the Holy Spirit like a tree. So I quit looking up to heaven. I now and just realize that as I'm worshiping and I'm praying in tongues and as I'm confessing the word, I'm not in battle at the moment that way. But I'm actually pulling forth truth and growing and growing. And soon I'll be above the grass and soon I'll be above the battles and above the circumstances. And one day, if not soon later, one day, I'll be above every battle, every failure, every circumstance, my past. I'll be so high above it, they'll look so small and tiny, they won't affect me. That's the power of seeing yourself the way God sees you, as a tree planted by the river of God, and you're pulling forward that truth. And you may not be there yet where you know you can be, but you're going to get there if you don't quit, if you don't lose focus on spiritual growth. And will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought. And so if you're anxious because of circumstances, because of what's going on in the world today, you can stop being anxious. You can allow yourself to say, I don't have to be anxious. Because even though everything around me is a drought, this outside world is not my source. The rain is not my source. The rain is not my source of water. My source of water comes from my roots into God. So therefore, I don't have to be anxious about anything, because all that I need to become all that I am, to walk in all that I'm called to be, comes from Him. And I'm rooted in Him. I don't receive it from heaven. Father, please give this to me. Please let me have this. I'm sorry I failed. I am already rooted in Him, and I can pull all that I need. You need courage. You need strength. You need forgiveness. You need love. You need to walk in more love. You need to walk in more peace. You want to walk more in your calling? This is the example, the source that Scripture is sharing with us, the imagery that we can walk around and see the truth of the Word within a picture and say, praise God, I'm a tree that's growing. And I may be one that spends 7 years, you don't see anything, and then boom, I got it. Or I might be one that grows slow, but I will be like that palm tree. I'll be like an olive tree that produces fruit in the world, and my friends and the people around me will receive of that fruit because I focus my life on growing and not on just running. The last verse in verse 13 here, the last part of it says, those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord. And then he names it the fountain of living water. And why that's so important, because that tells you that your roots are in the fountain of living water. All that you need to grow is there. It's in Him. And if anything today, I want to encourage you not to be discouraged for your lack of fruit, your lack of growth. And again, if you're like me, I don't know if you are, I've always felt more on the side of, I'm not good enough, I haven't done enough, I haven't qualified enough. Other people would testify about their victories in God and their accomplishments in God. I wouldn't take it as a celebration for them. I would take it as a competition for me. Oh man, I should be doing more. But you cannot be someone else. You have to be you, and you're responsible for you. No one can do this for you. No one can make you do it. You have to make that decision that I'm going to get on a path of life where I invest into my spiritual growth every day, and I'm going to keep doing that. I'm never going to stop doing that. If I keep doing that, the growth will come. I can't control the growth, but I can guarantee the growth will come, because the Word shows me that I'm like a tree. And a tree just grows if it pulls the nutrients from its roots. Well, how do you pull nutrients from the roots? Well, that brings us back again to the answer you'll hear a million times from me if you ask me a million questions. Are you praying in the Holy Ghost? Are you spending time? It's not how much time, in the sense that you start with what you have and be faithful to that, and God will help you do more. Are you confessing the Word? Are you worshiping God? These are things that we can do. Anyone can do this. You decide how much I want to do that. But understand, the more you do it, the more you invest into it, you will see growth. And you may get frustrated. Like, I've spent all this time praying and fasting and worshiping and meditating the Word and confessing the Word, and I still don't see the full victory like I want to. Yeah, well, that's like me chopping down my little tree and saying, you're not producing fruit fast enough. I have to have patience. I have to be patient, and I have to allow that growth to happen. And that's where we can get discouraged and try to find a shortcut, a quicker way to walk in things that people may see. But when God sees you, He's pleased if you're grown. If you've grown just a little bit, He's pleased, especially if your roots go deeper into Him through worship. I mean, that's a powerful analogy of the importance of private worship, that your roots are going deep in Him. There's times that you worship God and you don't feel anything. I've told God I worship Him, I love Him, and it feels like He's rejecting me. It feels like He's turned His shoulder on me. He's not paying attention to me. But that's not true. He's right there every time you stop and worship Him. But you're just looking in the wrong place. You're trying to feel it and see it when it's like roots. You're pulling all that you need to grow. And the value is, if you don't give up, you will overcome anything. You will walk in what God's called you to do, because you'll be strong enough to handle it. So I want to pray that we continue to grow spiritually, but also that we don't get discouraged and we don't feel defeated because we're not where we want to be yet. And I don't know anyone that is. There might be a few people out there who say, I got it all. I'm good. I'm just going to walk in it. But I don't know of a man or a person that really can honestly tell me that they're satisfied with who they are, especially in God. I'm suspect that many of us feel the same throughout our walk, that I don't feel like I'm good enough or I've done enough. And you can have peace while you're growing, that you're on the path that will get you there. And that's the peace. I'm not there yet, but I'm not overly judging myself. I'm not condemning myself for not being the child of God or not walking in the fullness of Christ yet. But praise God, if I keep investing in spiritual growth, I keep taking the time to pray in tongues, to worship, to read the Word, confess the Word, to fast, if I keep this part of my life, I will grow. This causes growth in my inner man. And when that knowledge of truth comes forward, the fruit will be truth, be love and joy and peace. Praise God. You don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't lose focus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love towards us. We know we don't deserve it. We know we can't earn it. So today we're at peace with you, that our roots are deep into you and that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who's at the right hand of God. And Father, because of that, you are our source of everything, and we qualify to receive that and to pull those nutrients in because we're your children. So I thank you now. I thank you right now for your sweet presence of peace and love and encouragement. Today we pull strength and courage and hope, and we press more into you. We press in. We won't stop. We won't change course because, Father, you really are everything to us. You really are our source of all of our needs, our provision, our health, our calling. You're our source of everything. So, Lord, we pull forth those needs from you, and we thank you that you love us, you believe in us. Father, even when we don't believe in ourselves, it is such hope to know that you believe in us. And we thank you that if we don't quit, we know that we will be like a cedar tree. We'll be like a palm tree. Father, we'll be like an olive tree that produces fruit, and we will not be moved and swayed, and we'll be strong and rooted deep in you, that nothing will stop us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Be encouraged. No matter where you are or what people think about you or what you even think about yourself, you have access to the Father. Direct access. And you're rooted in him. Let those roots go deep and you will be unstoppable. And nothing will be able to shake you and change you. I love our time together. God bless you. See you again soon.